What's up, guys? I hope you had a pretty good day so far. But anyway, we're gonna jump right into it because me being me, I chose to record this episode while my phone's at like 9%. And so hopefully we can get through this entire episode before my phone dies. But today we're going to continue this series of women in the Bible, and we're going to be talking about Eve. And that may seem weird to some people, like, what can we learn from Eve? But there's a lot we can learn from her. So the story of Eve is usually seen as the story of where the first human beings went wrong. Some people think, oh yeah, Eve messed everything up for us, right? But we have to remember that Adam is just as responsible too. But Eve is more than just the first person to get it wrong. She's actually a picture of all of us, a picture of some of our moments of doubt and even our moments of anxiety. And what we learn from her story is that those things don't have to define us. And so God shows us in the life of Eve how we can rest in Him in our greatest moments of need. So yeah, I'm really excited to go through her life, learn about different life lessons. And again, let's see if we can go through all of them with my phone dies. But with all that, let's get started. Okay, so for today's episode, I'm not actually going to read through the first part of Genesis about the fall and all that stuff. But if you want to learn more about background on Eve and the fall and Adam, you can go back and do that. But we're just going to be going over a few life lessons that I learned after reviewing everything about Eve. But number one is focus on the good around you. That's the first thing I want to talk about. Focus on the good around you. So Eve literally had the perfect surroundings, perfect relationship, perfect life. She didn't need anything. She literally lived in paradise. And yet Eve chose to focus on the one thing that she couldn't have, which was the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Eve became somewhat like delusional with the one thing that she wasn't able to have, and she chose to step outside the will of God for that, and that's what resulted in the fall. And it was basically just an act of disobedience, but this act of disobedience was all prompted by Eve focusing on what she couldn't have. You see my point? So this is true for us. It's the same for us, honestly, because think of it. How tempting is it to focus on that one thing that you don't have that somebody else has? Either that be the perfect job, the perfect spouse, the perfect house, the perfect family, or, I don't know, the perfect car, or just something like that. It's so easy to focus on the one thing that you don't have that somebody else has. And your life may be so amazingly awesome, but there's just that one thing that you don't have that drives you a little crazy, or that makes you feel inadequate, or that even makes you become jealous of someone else. And what we learned from Eve is that we need to focus on the good around us and not on the one thing that we don't have. We need to focus on the good around us and be grateful for what we do have rather than what we don't have. Okay? So one, focus on the good around you. Number two, don't doubt what God had once told you. So Eve, she doubted. And doubting can be forgiven. God forgives everything. But Eve's human. So she did doubt. She doubted what God had told her. And it's so easy to doubt something, right? Like, we all doubt. I doubt stuff. You may doubt stuff. We may doubt and think, oh, did I make the right choice? Or, huh, am I remembering that correctly? Or did God really say not to do that? Or did God really say to do this? And Eve doubted what God had once told her. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God told Eve, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. So Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 says, when she encounters the serpent, meaning Eve, he asked her, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And Eve doubted, like, did God really say that? And her doubt, her doubting what God had told her, was one of the reasons that she fell into that temptation. So guys, think of it. How easy is it to doubt what God has told us? I know that I've certainly been through this. God may have something listed out clearly in His word, Or he may tell me not to do something, or he may tell me to do something. And I'll sit there for a minute. I'll be like, well, did God really say I can't do this? Or did God really say I need to go and do this? Maybe I'm just overthinking it, or maybe I'm just not remembering it correctly. Guys, this is all the enemy. Satan wants us to doubt what God tells us. He wants us to become confused and doubt what God's word says or what God tells us to do. The enemy, he'll plant seeds of doubt up in your mind. I promise you, it's something he's good at. He'll plant seeds of doubt in your mind so you can doubt what God tells you and doubt what his word says. But one of the lessons, another lesson we can learn from the life of Eve, is to not doubt what God has told you. Don't doubt what you were once sure that God told you. If God tells you something once, don't turn back and doubt it. Don't turn back and be like, oh, God, did you really mean that? Don't do it. If he tells you something, stick with it. So, number two, don't doubt what God has once told you. Number three, focus on God's word. And I love this one. Focus on God's word. Jesus also went through some temptation just like Eve, but the only difference is that he didn't fall into temptation. And the reason he didn't fall into temptation was one, because he's God, and two, because when he was tempted by Satan, he backed up and focused on all of the truth that's in God's word. So God, he shows us a very reliable way to, what's the word? How to defeat temptation. And focus on what he says. And the one reliable way to defeat temptation is to focus on his word. That's why number three is focus on God's word. We can defeat temptation and overcome temptation by focusing on his word. So we have to remember, Eve, she was tempted by a physical pleasure of eating the apple, by material things like wanting to possess this fruit. Excuse me, what I said. Physical pleasure. We're not sure if it was an apple. She was tempted for eating the fruit. She was tempted from material possessions, wanting to possess this fruit, and she had this desire for significance. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I want to read that really quick. I mean, 3, verse 6. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. So Eve saw something that she wanted and she took it. She wanted to be wise, like the verse said. She wanted to be able to determine what was right and what was wrong for herself instead of letting God do that. And that's what led to her downfall. Jesus was also tempted by Satan. He was tempted in the desert, but the only difference is that he refused to give in to temptation, and instead he quoted scripture. And I really, really like this. I know for me at least, when I'm being tempted, one of the things I do is quote scripture. If I'm being tempted to do something I know I'm not supposed to be doing, or look at something I'm not supposed to be looking at, I will quote scripture and I'll be like, Lord God, help me. I don't know, just something about quoting scripture, it helps. It gets into your mind, it allows the Holy Spirit to come into the place where you're at. But yeah, quoting scripture when you're being tempted, I very much suggest doing that. It also helps you hide that scripture deep in your heart. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to use his word to fight against sin. And so if we have his word hidden deep in our heart when we're tempted, we could just pull it out and use it like a sword, you know? But anyway, Jesus was tempted by Satan when he was in the desert, and he refused to give in to temptation by quoting scripture. So Jesus refused to turn a piece of stone into bread, and he instead said that people don't live by bread alone. Which comes from Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus then refused to jump off the highest point of this temple. And Jesus recited Deuteronomy 6:16, which says, "You must not test the Lord your God." Then lastly, Satan offered Jesus wealth and power, and Jesus recited Deuteronomy 6:13, "You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So what I learned is that the first five books of the Bible, which are the Pentateuch, these were probably the only scripture that Jesus had available, and he drew all of those sightings from the Pentateuch. So Jesus really shows us that when we turn to the Word of God, and when we hide the Word of God into our hearts, we have a very reliable source. We have a sword to use when we're being tempted. And we have a reliable source to help guide us through life. When we have that word hidden deep in our heart, we have a guide to help us with anything we may ever face. And I promise you, this can help so much in times of doubt as well. God will speak to us in many ways, either through people or through prayer, but he also speaks to us through the Bible. And having scripture at your fingertips, having scripture hidden in your heart, can help you trust in what God tells you to do and not doubt it. Because, like I said before, the enemy will try to make you doubt what the Word of God says, but if it's hidden so deeply in your heart, he won't make you able to doubt what the Lord says. So, number three, focus on God's Word. Number four, don't try to control everything. So one of the big problems for Eve was that she wanted to what's the word? I'm drawing a blank. She wanted to determine what was right and what was wrong for herself instead of obeying God. She wanted to have that same power of knowing right from wrong, which is something that only the Creator should be able to do. And this. What's the word? I'm drawing a blank again. I'm sorry, guys. So Eve is a created being. She was created by our Heavenly Father, and since she was created, it naturally means that she's dependent on the one who created her, which is God. She is not sovereign. She doesn't get to determine everything. But Eve, she wanted wisdom. She wanted knowledge. She wanted control. That's what the text showed us. And the fact is that when we try to control everything or determine everything for ourselves, as though we can measure right and wrong, or as though we can measure good and evil or true or false, then we're trying to act as though we had created ourselves. Let me say that again. When we try to control everything, or when we try to determine everything for ourselves as though we can measure right and wrong, or as though we can measure good and evil or true or false, we're trying to act as though we had created it ourselves, which doesn't work. So the whole lesson here is stop trying to control everything and make everything work according to your standards, because one, it's exhausting, it's very exhausting, and two, it's not gonna work. I said this before in past episodes, I like to control things sometimes. So this one, when I was really reviewing things from the life of Eve, I was like, yeah, I have to mention this because it speaks to me right here. I like to control things sometimes. Sometimes I like to control things too much. And I have to remember to stop trying to control everything and stop trying to make everything work according to my standards. Because like I said before, one, it's exhausting. Two, it's not gonna work. But like I said before, number four, don't try to control everything. Number five, don't seek wholeness in material things. Don't seek wholeness in material things. So material things, they don't fulfill us. I've said that multiple times in this podcast, but the world will continue to try to convince you that material things will fulfill you. But I'm here to tell you that they won't. Nothing that's a material thing will fulfill you. Because think of it like this. We're humans and we were created to be in a relationship with God. And without this relationship with Him, we're going to feel an emptiness. We're created to be in a relationship with God. And without that relationship, we're going to feel some sense of emptiness. And you know, there's some people who try to fill that sense of emptiness. They might try to fill it with traveling or a fancy home or some very fancy job or some really cool car. And Eve was kind of this way too. She thought that this fruit was a good idea because one, it looked really nice, it was beautiful, probably looked really delicious too, but it's not what she was meant to do. Eve was created for obedience. And that may seem like a very weird word because we don't, in our society, we don't really like obeying. But in obeying God, Eve can find wholeness. She finds wholeness there because it's the very place where she was created. Like I said before, we are created to be in a relationship with God, and without that relationship with Him, we're going to feel some sense of emptiness. So when Eve chooses to find wholeness in God, it'll just work for her because that's where she was created. And it's the very place for which we were created too. So remember, material things will never fill you up. They'll only leave you wanting more, more travel destinations or cooler cars or bigger houses. Someone else is always going to have something better than you. And essentially, everything that you have will eventually break down and be thrown in the garbage anyway. Even relationships can't fulfill us. People, even the people that we love most. The people that do things that we don't like, relationships break down. Communication breaks down. Even the best relationships are eventually ended, sadly, by death. So why does it make sense to go to material things to fill us up? You can't be fulfilled by something that you're eventually gonna lose. You're eventually gonna lose every single material thing. So why use that to fulfill you? Why use that to find a sense of wholeness when you can just run to the Lord? And Christianity recognizes this truth, recognizes this, and it claims that all good things will be restored in God. And that's from Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Remember this. It's in God that we find wholeness. It's in God we find fulfillment. It is not and will never, ever be in material things. So number five, don't seek wholeness in material things. Now, number six, lastly, you are a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. And that's something I need to like write down and tape up on my mirror or something. I wanted to use this to conclude because this is something that we can confidently say if you are a believer, that you are a beloved child of God. So guys, Eve's her identity isn't determined by what she has or what she had or what she does or what people say about her. Material success or having things or doing great things and being significant aren't God's only plan for you. So we have to remember that we are all children of God. Mark chapter 1 verse 11, I want to read that really quick. Let me find it. Okay. Mark chapter 1 verse 11, it says it was when God was talking to Jesus at his baptism. You are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. It says, you are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. And remember that Paul also assures us in, I think it's Romans, that we're adopted children of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. So remember this. You aren't determined by what you have, what you've done, or what people even say about you. Because those aren't God's standards of success. Those are humanly standards of success. You are a beloved child of God. That's your identity. And that's the foundation that you can hold on to in the midst of every single worldly success or every single worldly failure. You are a beloved child of God. But that's what I wanted to end with. And so really quick, we're going to go over the 6 points that we talked about. Number one was focus on the good around you. Number two, don't doubt what God had once told you. Number three, focus on God's word. Number four, don't try to control everything. Number five, don't seek wholeness in material things. And number six, you are a beloved child of God. With all of that, we're gonna go ahead and pray. Oh, wait, guys, we made it. We made it all the way to the end of the episode, and my phone didn't die. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But with that, we're gonna go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for allowing us to learn some new things, some new lessons from the life of Eve. Sometimes when we hear Eve, we're like, oh, she's the one who messed it up for us. And that's, I guess, somewhat true. But there's still some lessons we can learn from her life, Lord. Lord God, please allow us to remember that we are your child. Please allow us to remember that material things will not fill us up. Please help us to remember that we don't need to try to control everything, and that we need to focus on your word, Lord, and that we don't need to doubt what you've told us, and Lord, that we should always focus on the good that's around us. Please allow us to remember all those things, Lord, and please allow us to become more curious and stay more curious to learn about you and what your word says. Thank you for everything. Thank you.